encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Tonight, I want to teach you on understanding the power of the gospel. There is power in the gospel. I need you to know that the gospel is not a mere message we preach. The gospel is the expression of the power of God. Many go out with the gospel and they are afraid, because they've not understood the power that's in the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5, it said, "For our gospel came not unto us in words only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you." Our gospel did not come just in words. We preach it through words, but the truth is that the gospel is God's capsule of power. In Romans 1:16, Paul speaking, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." So the gospel is the power of God. We may explain it with cognitive terms, but therein lies the power that saves, the power that delivers. You need to understand this truth. So when you are communicating the gospel, you are conscious that you are releasing power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1, he said, "When I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." In verse 2, reading down to verse 4, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ," which is the gospel, "and him crucified." In verse 3, he said, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So the gospel is the demonstration of the Spirit and power. You need to know and understand that the power of God is resident in the gospel. Last Sunday, I took time to explain to you the gospel and the progression of his revelation. I told you the gospel is the word derived from the Greek word called euangelion, and it's also from the Hebrew word besora. And I said what it means is the good news of the reign of the king. And this king is God. And I said, however, for this gospel to reach out to you and to make meaning to you, it has to pass through three phases. And I said the first phase is what we call the kingdom gospel. The kingdom gospel speaks to you about the dominion of God. But you cannot just experience it except as, number one, you let go of who you were, which is what we call self-denial, and adopt who God calls you. Number two, you take advantage of the life of God that powers that gospel. And then number three,
Now that you have taken advantage of that life, you go to conquer your world. But I said, for you to have access into that life, you have to migrate into the second layer of the gospel, which is what is called the gospel of grace. And I said, the gospel of grace is divided into twofold. There is the salvation gospel, which is where, although you didn't qualify, but God sent Jesus to die for you so that in Christ you are qualified. And that's why I told you that that gospel encompasses the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you believe in it and accept it, then the finished works of Christ is credited into your account. And as you confess it, salvation and eternal life is deposited in your spirit. But I say the job of grace does not stop there. After grace has made that happen, then grace goes further to beginning to empower you. And I told you in Titus 2:12, there were three dimensions of the empowerment of grace. Number one, it calls it sober living. And I said sober living is connectivity to God. So you need grace to have a relationship with God, either through prayer or through revelation of the word or through service in the kingdom. It has to take grace to power it. And I said the second dimension is righteous living. So the dimensions of God that are now in your spirit, grace helps you to live it out. That is where sin no longer has dominion over you. That is where nothing dominates you in life anymore. And I said number three, so that you live a goodly life. That is where you enjoy all of the manifold blessings of God in your life. Prosperity inclusive, healing inclusive, you know, all kinds of blessings that God has to offer. He said every good and every perfect gift cometh from above. It comes from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That's the goodly life. Everything God has to offer is credited to you. I said when you now come into that experience, then the gospel migrates to the last layer. You are now taught that this grace is not just a system. Because if you think it's a system, you will come to use God to be blessed of that system and walk away. So the gospel becomes the message of Christ. And so when you study the writings of the apostle, Romans chapter 1 from verse 1, Paul calls it the gospel of God. Romans 1:9, he calls it the gospel of the Son. Romans 1:16, he calls it the gospel of Christ. So the gospel now reduces from a kingdom lifestyle to an enablement and empowerment resource of God to a person. So we summarize the gospel as the person of Jesus Christ. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are in Him and He is in you. If you are able through the message of the gospel to bring any man there, what you will discover is that his life will become an expression of power. That is why tonight I want to show you the dimensions of power that are locked in the gospel. So you will know what you have received is not just a message. No, what you have received is not a message. And that's why I was telling them a moment ago, there must be power. There must be miracle. We are not lecturers. We are not theologians. We are witnesses of this life. We are witnesses of this gospel. And the proof that we are witnesses is that something supernatural goes with us. Jesus was speaking in Mark 16:17. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. I know they have a message, but what makes them believers? What shows that they are believers is that these signs shall follow them. He said, in my name shall they cast out devils. So a man who carries the gospel has authority over devils. Number two, he said they shall lay hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. Number three, he said they shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. Number four, he said they shall step upon scorpions and serpents. They shall by no means be hurt. So the gospel fortifies you with power. When you find Christians living in fear, they have not understood the gospel. When you find Christians living with a defeated mentality, they have not understood the gospel. And sadly, in Africa today, we have taught messages that make mediocres out of people with great potential in God. Because ministers want to appear like demigods among men, so that everybody rally around them and depend on them, even for bread. And on account of that, they are no longer living the full life that Christ has made available. He said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life, and life to the full. How can you have life to the full without power? When everything is trying to strangle you, everything is trying to make a mess of your existence. This is why, amongst other things, the summary of the gospel is that it's the power of God. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's not an intelligent message, although it sounds intelligent. It's not an appealing message, although it may sound appealing. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation. So if you are looking for a suitable word to substitute for gospel, the word is power. The second word for gospel is power. It is the power of God unto salvation. Very quickly, what are these powers that the gospel conveys? So that as you preach it and as you carry it, you will build this consciousness that this kind of power is in me. Remember Ephesians 3:20. He said God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power at work in you. That means if the power in you is not put to work, God will not be able to do. That's why in the life of many people, it looks as if God is weak, because the power in them is not at work. This is why we are teaching what we are teaching now, so that you can put that power to work and then God will be able to do. Because God is able to do only according to the power at work on your inside. So what are the powers that the gospel unveils? Number one, the gospel communicates convicting power. The reason we are here is not because we judged God faithful. The reason we are here is not because we were so reasonable to discover that we were living in sin. It was the gospel that convicted us. If we were not convicted, we would have continued in our iniquity. In Acts 2:37, the Bible said Peter preached. And you need to read what Peter preached. If you read that scripture, you will know that there is actually something in this gospel that we don't know. There is actually something in this gospel that we don't see. Peter literally gave them a narrative. It was a story he told. It wasn't a preaching. But when Peter finished giving this same narrative that they knew in the light of Christ, the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? You know, the problem with most of us is that we have not realized that the gospel carries power. So when we go to preach it, we try to exaggerate. We try to say what is not. We try to sugarcoat it. Leave the gospel the way it is. It is the way it is that gives the Holy Ghost credibility and legality to release the power. The moment you try to sugarcoat it, the moment you try to exaggerate it, you have already attested to the fact that your message is powerless. But the excellency of the message is that in its simplicity lies the power. The excellency of the message is that in its natural communication evolves its supernatural dimension, so that you will know that what you are saying is not just a message. You are unveiling the dimensions of the spirit. And the more you say it, the more the spirit goes to work. He said, I have many things to tell you. He said, but you cannot receive it. He said, how be it? When the spirit of truth is come, he will show you these things. He said, he will not speak of himself. He will show you. He will carry you into all reality. So you are telling somebody that Jesus died for you. But what the Holy Ghost is interpreting to the person, you have no idea. It's just like looking at a cat, but the shadow cast on the wall is the lion. So you are talking something that looks helpless. But what the Holy Ghost is interpreting is the power of God. So that at the end, like Paul, you will not say it's your eloquence that convicted them. Eloquence cannot stop harlotry. Eloquence cannot kill cancer. Eloquence cannot stop addiction. It takes power that is divine to make it happen. So what God said is, you say the message, allow me to demonstrate the power. The gospel is a convicting power. Acts 3:19. The Bible said, repent and turn from your iniquity when times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. So as you are preaching it, the Holy Ghost brings the presence. It is the presence that does the job, because there is a power in the gospel that convicts men. There's a power in the gospel that compels men. Every time you open your mouth to preach, be sensitive, be conscious, expect men to be convicted. Expect men to repent. Expect men to be touched in their heart, Because you are not speaking primarily to their brain. You are speaking to their spirit. And the spirit knows how to convict another spirit. The spirit knows what to transmit into another spirit. But the avenue for the move of the spirit is the message of the gospel. Because in it is convicting power. Number two, the gospel contains transformation power. Galatians 3 from verse 1 to verse 2 and Romans 12 verse 2. When Paul went to Galatia, he said the only job he did was to paint Christ crucified. That was all. Oh, foolish Galatians. He said, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So the whole message of Paul was to paint Jesus as the crucified Lord for their salvation. Now, when you preach this message, there is something the Holy Ghost begins to do. The Holy Ghost enters the mind of the people and it begins to renew them. Because while somebody is hearing that message, what he's listening to is the love of the Father. You are telling him Jesus was crucified, he died for you, and he's wondering, me who was a fornicator all my life, what did I do to deserve this? How can the Father love me so much that he sent his only begotten Son? What do I have to offer? Because you are talking crucifixion, he is interpreting love. Sometimes you are talking crucifixion, he is interpreting mercy. You mean I'm not going to go to hell? You mean I'm not going to die? That's not your job. That's the workings of the Holy Ghost. Now, as the Holy Ghost is showing them this other side of the Father, something is happening to them. Their hearts begin to be renewed. Their minds begin to be renewed. It is that renewal of mind that leads to transformation. That's why Paul was teaching. He said, be not conformed to this world. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But how does that mind get renewed? It's by listening to the gospel. And do you know how the Holy Ghost gets it even more excellent? Sometimes when you are preaching the gospel, what the Holy Ghost does is that it begins to transfer the spirit into them. And they begin to watch it like a picture. He said, we all with open faces. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord. Hope you know the gospel is the image of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of their heart. Otherwise, they should have seen the image of the invisible God. So when we are preaching the gospel and making Christ known, the Bible said the Holy Ghost is working. What is the Holy Ghost doing? It's converting them into that same image that they have seen, from one level of glory to another level of glory. It says, we all with open faces. 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. He said, we are changed. Where is that glory of the Lord? It's in the gospel. As you present the image of Christ, the Holy Ghost begins a work of metamorphosis. And the more they see, the more they become. I came to discover that threatening people will not transform them. I came to discover that screaming at people will not transform them. Show them the gospel. And the Holy Ghost, who carries the transformation power, will go to work. They have threatened people and they have made them become mediocre. Yet, they are living in sin. You know what they will do? At best, they will hide and sin. But they will never be transformed. Because transformation is a power. Most of the people you see in church, living well, meet them by accident in their job place. You will discover that everything you see in church is decoration. Their real life is in their houses and in their workplaces. And the reason is simple. They've not heard the gospel. If you hear the gospel, you give the Holy Ghost liberty to transform you. And the Holy Ghost can work over time. You can be sleeping and it's still showing you. Sometimes you hear a message, you don't understand it. It's when you go to bed to sleep that the Holy Ghost starts talking. There you can't struggle. He will show you everything, convict you, and also show you the way out. That is when you will now discover that a 1 hour message is actually not 1 hour long. A 1 hour message can be 3 months long. Because the Holy Ghost can pick 1 hour message and use it to work on a man for 3 months. Somebody will come to you after 1 month and say when he heard that message, he couldn't sleep. And for 3 months, the Holy Ghost kept transforming. Kept transforming. You will now discover that the service did not end in the spirit when you stopped it in time. You stopped the service, but it continued in the spirit. The guy went and the Holy Ghost kept transforming. Because that power is in the gospel. So when you communicate the gospel, be conscious of transformation. Know that you are not preaching an intelligent message. know that you are communicating a force that transforms. This is why we are bold to talk to anybody. It doesn't matter who they are. They may appear like lions. They may appear like sheep. Their looks don't matter. It's a heart business. Some people want to preach. They go to the person that looks weak. That person that looks weak might be more hardened than the one that looks aggressive. Your job is say it. Say it in faith. Allow the Holy Ghost to work. When they come back to you and tell you what God took them from, you'll be shocked. A brother came to me 3 years ago and told me he's into Yahoo Yahoo. He was online. He had already set the coordinates to dupe somebody over 700 million. The person was already falling. So while he was online, he dozed off. And lo and behold, YouTube popped a video on his phone. And he made a mistake to tap it. When he tapped it, he saw a hunter. Oh my God. Oh my God. As he tapped the message, lo and behold, he saw somebody that looks like a cave dweller, roaring from the spirit, roaring. And the moment he heard, arrows were entering his soul. It's like what he was hearing is that you will die this night. If you continue, you will go to hell this night. And hell became real to him. You know what he did? He upped his phone, all his phones, ran from Lagos to Makurdi like a madman. Where are you? Where is this person? And he came there. He said, if he owns his phone, his colleagues won't let him. Because this is the business they do in a team. So he had to shut himself down. That was how God delivered this criminal. Because he heard something. I don't know what he heard that convicted him. When he told me the message, I wasn't even talking about transformation. I wasn't talking about hair. But what he was hearing, his hand is real. You are dying. You are going to hell. Your days on earth are short. And because he didn't want to go to hell, he ran for salvation. The gospel has the power to transform. Preach it with boldness. Don't be afraid of how they look. When they hear you, they may be like mountains. The Holy Ghost will enter their heart. And when he enters their heart, they will collapse at the feet of the cross. Number three, the gospel has the power to deliver. Many persons are in their bondages, not just because they desire it. There are spirits that have kept them in bondage. So the gospel also has the power to deliver. When we are preaching, the people who hear us first are not men. The beings that hear us first are not men. They are demons. You'll be shocked. Somebody may hear your message. It will take him 1 month to understand. But when a demon hears the truth, immediately the truth becomes judgment to it. Demons respond to our messages much more than men. Because our messages come to remind them of the judgment that is upon their lives. So when we go out to preach the gospel, we must be conscious that we have been commissioned to communicate the deliverance power. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. See the gospel he was preaching. He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Every time gospel is preached, deliverance takes place. In Acts 14, verse 8 to 10, the Bible said, Paul was preaching, and he looked at a man who was impotent from birth and perceived that the man had faith to be healed. The moment Paul saw that this gospel had entered him, he said, he screamed with a loud voice, rise up, stand on thy feet. And immediately the man stood up. Because when gospel is preached, deliverance is taking place. Some people hear you. While they are yet hearing you, they didn't even know something was happening. They now stand up and discover a pain has left them. They stand up and discover a movement in their body has ceased. They stand up and discover that an affliction has ended. They can't even tell when it happened. But as they were hearing, power was entering them. Power was entering them. That power, his job is to identify everything the devil is doing and destroy it. That's what the gospel comes to present. And finally, when the gospel is preached, it engenders circumstantial turnaround.
Second Corinthians 6 verse 10. Many people hear you. You are preaching about repentance. They go home, they discover a favor comes upon them and they get a job. And they are wondering, which connection do they have? They don't need to have any connection. That's what the gospel comes to do. Paul said, as sorrowful, yet rejoicing. As poor, making many rich. Because when the gospel is preached, in it also is the power to change the circumstances of men. That's why 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, Christ, rich as he was, he became poor that you might be made rich. There is something the gospel does to a man who is backward. To some, it gives them wisdom. That wisdom translates to invention that brings money. To some, he gives favor. That favor translates to a force that attracts wealth. To some, it gives alignment in season so that lines fall for them in pleasant places and they step into the opportunity. But one way or the other, if a man is true to the gospel, his circumstance cannot be the same. For he lifted up the beggar from the dunghill and maketh him to stand with princes and inherit thrones. This is what the gospel comes to do. And above all, the gospel also gives you the power to stand before God. We no longer stand in fear in God's presence anymore. We stand in boldness because now we know that because of the gospel, access has been granted us. In Luke 4:16, it says, come boldly before the throne of grace, obtain mercy and grace for help in the time of need. So we don't fidget in God's presence anymore. Not because the presence of God has lost its hallowedness, but because the gospel has empowered us to know that God is our Father. To know that the presence is the business of family. So we now have the right to participate and to partake in the presence. So in the gospel is power for conviction. In the gospel is power for transformation. In the gospel is power for deliverance. In the gospel is power for circumstantial turnaround. And in the gospel is the power to stand in God's presence. Very quickly, let me touch on the deliverance aspect of power, because that's the area I want to address tonight. Transformation can take a while. Standing in God's presence will take a while. Some people don't even have the stamina to behold glory. So the moment the atmosphere begins to shift, they lose coordination. To enter into convictions takes levels of growth. But when it has to do with deliverance, it must be instant. We don't wait for tomorrow. He said, weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. He said, our light affliction are but for a moment. So when people are tormented by devils, you don't want it to last for a second. They must be delivered, and they must be delivered immediately. And the beautiful thing about the gospel is that it's not only devils who were delivered from. There are five major things we were delivered from in the gospel. And I want to show you tonight, because we'll address some of them immediately here and now, and some other. You need to know it so that you are able to resist it. Listen, Christianity is not a life of depending on apostles. It's not a life of depending on prophets. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. The Bible said they came to equip you. They came to grow you, to mature you. The gospel is partnership with the Holy Ghost to live out everything God has ordained for you to be. You are not designed to wait for one man of God to always speak before you go forward. That's not gospel. That's witchcraft. So you need to learn these things so you know how to exercise your faith and walk in your liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. Five dimensions of deliverance that we have in the gospel is, number one, we were delivered from Satan. We were delivered from demons. We were delivered from the power of demonic spirits. Too many Christians don't get this. That's why they are where they are. In Colossians chapter 2, from verse 14, the Bible told us where the battle, the warfare between men and demons took place.
Listen, when we are wrestling with principalities, the wrestling is no longer a fight. You are fighting because you are not sure of victory. It's actually a battle of understanding. The battle between principalities and powers is a battle of understanding. They want to know whether you know what has been done for you. Because the real battle of victory was not fought between us and principalities. It was fought between Christ and principalities. When he took our place, that was when that battle took place. But because these beings are rebellious spirits, although legally it has been settled, they will still come to you to find out if you know. So the battle with principalities and powers is actually a battle of understanding of who you are in Christ, so that you will know the arsenals to dislodge. In Colossians 2:14, it said when Jesus was on the cross, he said he blotted out every handwriting of ordinance that was against you. This is what gives principalities legitimacy. If they come to you, they want to find out if there is any case against you in the spirit. They capitalize on the legality of that case in order to deal with you. The Bible said on the cross, he said Jesus blotted out every handwriting of ordinance that was against us. And he said these writings that were contrary to us, he said he took it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. He didn't stop there. If Jesus stopped here, you would have had a basis to fight with Satan. You would have told the devil there's no more legality. But Jesus didn't stop here. The Bible said he went further, having spoiled. If he stopped by taking the legality, you would have had. Now, those of you who are lawyers, you understand this. The reason you are able to litigate for a citizen of the country is because of the constitution. The constitution provides legality for a man to defend his right. So if Jesus only took out the writing, it would have been enough for you to stand and defend your right. But Jesus didn't stop there. He went a bit further. After taking the legality away, he entered the battle arena. And he said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he said, he made a show of them openly. He didn't do it in hiding. Because if it were done in hiding, the devil would have said it has not yet happened. But now it is open. God knows. Angels know. Demons know. You are the only one who don't know. Every demon under heaven knows that the devil is already defeated. Every angel knows that the devil is already defeated. God knows that the devil is already defeated. Even the devil himself knows that he is defeated. But the devil suspects that you don't know. And because it's a rebellious spirit, he comes to you to check whether you know. So he throws cancer at you. And is waiting to see your reaction. He throws a dream at you. And is waiting to see your reaction. And you dream and you say, oh Jesus, the devil is coming for me. Say, this one is not yet aware. He calls people, go there. I've opened the door there. Go and take over. He throws something and your response proves that you don't know. But those of us who know, when the devil show up, we say, where are you coming from? Are you not aware that the angels that did not keep their first estate, he bound in prison under the bottomless pit? Are you not aware that having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them? By what authority have you come? The moment you ask that question, the devil will move back. I didn't know you are aware. You say, go nowhere. Because you have come, you are in trouble. Higher, 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 higher. Makata karota. See, these are the scriptures that intoxicate me. The devil knows that I know. He knows. So the thing is, see, the devil doesn't throw everything at every Christian. He avoids those who know. He avoids them. He said he made a public show of them, triumphing over them. This is why the Bible calls you more than a conqueror. You are no longer fighting to win. You are only standing to insist on your victory. The victory has already been achieved, and you are telling the devil, I am aware that the battle is over. I am aware that I have won the battle. I am aware that you are a defeated foe. And so in the name of Jesus, I enforce that victory. You cannot trespass it. How many of you have watched some of the battles and the saga that happens between black Americans and the white police? They will call you, they will meet you, and they want to intimidate you because you are black. And if you don't know your right, they will manipulate you into becoming a victim. Sometimes I stumble on these things and I say, that's right. They'll look at somebody and say, get out of your car. And the person will say, why? What have I done? What right do you have to tell me to get out of my car? And then you see the police start changing his mouth. Immediately, sometimes they even carry their phones and record, because they know this is instrument of litigation. Every time you say, in the name of Jesus, you are bringing the exhibit. You have been defeated. I am aware, and I refuse to be a victim, because you were defeated and it was public. I decree over you, every demonic influence on your life goes down tonight. Colossians 1:12 and 13. Sit down. I'm showing you something so you will know how to equip yourself. It's the power of the gospel. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. The word is qualified to be partakers of the inheritances of the saints in light. In verse 13, it said, who hath delivered us? It didn't say he's delivering us. It didn't say he will deliver us. It said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us. Everything here is in past tenses. Translated us, not translating us, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So whenever a rebellious spirit shows up, tell him there's no way here. You know the way some of us who have understanding fight the devil. Sometimes we don't even say, in the name of Jesus, get out. When the devil comes, we say, thank you, Father. The moment we start thanking God, he knows that we know we have been delivered. That's why Paul said, giving thanks to the Father. So anybody who has understanding, the moment he starts thanking God, the devil knows that, oh, this one knows. So the devil comes with cancer. He comes with arthritis. He comes with bad luck. He comes with affliction. You say, thank you, Father. I am more than a conqueror. Thank you, Father. I have overcome. Thank you, Father. I have victory in Christ. He will say, come, don't waste our weapons. Bring them quickly. Bring them, bring them. This one has to understand. I decree over you, this is the day of your liberty. You know, I was teaching them on Tuesday. I told them, the Holy Ghost is the one who owns the believer. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it said, your spirit and your body belongs to God. And I told them, according to Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, that our spirit is already sealed. The devil can't tamper with it. But I said, there are many Christians who, on account of ignorance, they don't know these truths. Or on account of misuse of their body in sin, or on account of unscriptural practices, open their souls and their bodies to the devil. That's why you see us cast out devils from Christians. Christians who know can't be possessed. If you find a Christian who has demons in his soul or his body, he only activated Ephesians 4:27. He gave a place to the devil through ignorance, through misuse of his body, or through unscriptural practices. Those of us who know, if you say, I want to break every spell, we put our hands in our pocket and say, spells don't work where we live. If my type is a congregation, if you say, every demon go out, you won't hear any amen, because there's no demon there. If you say, every spell break, you will not hear amen, because spells don't operate here. We have too much understanding. We know that the devil has no place here, and we will not give him one, because we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, because we still have people who are growing, we are doing the job of casting out devils. But when the church becomes mature, we will stop talking about the devil. His existence does not count, because we are living in a realm where he does not exist. He said, Christ is sitting far above principalities and powers, above every name that is named, both in heaven, on earth, and in the world beneath. And in Ephesians 2:6, he said, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Demons don't exist there. Principalities don't exist there. We live above their realm. We live above their order. We live above their class. That's why, listen, does it not shock you? Every week, we move from one territory to another. We are casting out devils. Don't you think they want to gang up against us? you are in Boko, you cast out devils. You go to Kogi, you cast out devils. You go to Gambia, you cast out devils. You go to Ghana, you cast out devils. Do you think if the devil could, we will still be breathing? We are entering territories to territories, cities to cities, nations to nations. We are literally hunting them and kicking them out. If they could, they would have killed us. But you know what? They tried. They couldn't. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimonies. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. Somebody shout to yourself, I'm an overcomer. You already know. Mark 16:17. Hear what Jesus said. He said, these signs shall follow them. Are these the apostles? Are these the prophets? Are these the pastors? Are these the evangelists? Are these the teachers? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Did he say demons will be cast out of them? What did he say? In my name, every believer shall cast out devils. He put it in plural. It doesn't matter where they came from. They can belong to the sea. They can belong to the air. They can belong to the land. So long as they are in the category of devils, he said they are beneath every believer. Every believer shall cast out devils. Can I shock you? Luke 10. Look at what happened from verse 17 to 19. See, we need to understand the power of the gospel. You didn't hear a message. You were fortified with power. You were fortified. He said the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord. That means they didn't expect. But they had something that the devil knew. He said, even the devils were subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus told them, that's not the testimony. He said, that's your reality. See what Jesus told them. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So Jesus is the one who overcame him. And in verse 19, he said, behold. The word behold is become aware. Because many are not aware. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over every power of the enemy. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means. That means there is no invention left in hell that can be deployed to defeat you. He has checked the whole archive. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And see, this is not even the fascinating aspect. The Bible said Jesus turned and began to talk to the Father. And see what he said in verse 20. He said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Rejoice not that the spirit are subject unto you. He said, but rather rejoice that your names are written. This is salvation in heaven. In verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto what? So who are the ones who cast out devils? Babes. Somebody shout! Babes. Who are the believers who cast out devils? Babes. See, some of us have grown beyond that level. So when we show up, the devil knows already. He knows. He gets out because we are doing deeper kingdom matters. Deeper matters. The only reason we teach people about spiritual warfare is because demons are rebellious. You need understanding. You need to live a holy life. And you need to stay within scripture. Because we know that the devil will not just fold his hand. because we are victorious. He will come. So we teach men spiritual warfare because the devil is rebellious. Show him where he belongs. And as you leave this meeting tonight, every devil playing around your quarters, they are in trouble. They are in trouble. They are in trouble because they will check out tonight. They will check out tonight in the name of Jesus. Aye, aye.
Aye, aye.
I always tell you, Christianity is not about coming to church. You come to church to be equipped like I'm doing to you now. Christianity is about demonstrating the God life. Christianity is about living out scriptures. Some of you this week will not finish until you cast out devils. Anywhere they tell you somebody is demonized, tell them, wait, I'm coming. Spend your money. Go there. When you enter, enter like Jesus Christ. Don't enter like an apprentice. Tell them, wait outside. I need two persons to hold the person. And then walk in by the Spirit. When you enter, look at the environment and connect in the Spirit. Turn around, lift your hands and worship the Lord. When you are charged, turn to that devil. I say, you devil from hell, in the name of Jesus, come out! Ah! Barakatatata. You have been struggling. They taught you human wisdom. They said you have made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. The first time I was traveling out of this country to preach, some people came to me and said, now that God has opened these doors, you will start meeting international demons. I said, demons don't have nationality. You are the one who have nationality. The guy said, forget it. It's not the way it is in Nigeria. I say, watch me, you will see it online. My first session, when I was about to come out, I went on white suit. Because I said, the demons of Ghana are about to see a prince. I walked into the auditorium like a prince. Man, takiba, raka. When I was done teaching, I started demonstrating the power of God. I didn't care whether I was in Ghana, because it was men that divided nations by boundaries. In the spirit is a perpetual continuum. The devil knows this man. Christ in me is the hope of glory. If there are as many as are born again, they have put on the Lord Jesus. When I walked into that city, Jesus walked in. He said, you are carriers of the glory. When I came, the presence of God came. And he has no regard for demons anywhere, anywhere. They are all devils. They are all demons. I left here. I went to Zambia. I came late. I told them I don't need a suit to cast out devils. You know the worst part? They forgot my luggages in Ethiopia. I told them, let's go. The same garment I wore, traveled for 2 days from the airport. I rushed to the hotel, shower, changed over, and entered there. The demons know that this one wears fire. It's not a jacket, it's a fire. Because he maketh his angels spirits, his ministers are flames of fire. When I entered the auditorium, as I was talking, my God, angels began to walk because they went with me. The power of the gospel began to walk, and it didn't appear as if I shifted an inch from one location to another. And it has been so, and it's from one level of glory to another. I decree over you, from today, you know demons will become subject to you. When you are there, when you are there, when you are there, when you are there.
it. Charge yourself, charge yourself. Tarakatina, tatakapas. Tatakaparatu. Azazazana, tatakatia. Branda, tatakatina, katan. Charge, charge.
When we used to pray in Makodi, where we come and pray 5 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours, 16 hours, and then we'll finish praying. My friends, they want to go home. I said, no. We didn't pray to go home. We came here to stir power. When you finish stirring power, you put it to work. You don't un-generate and allow it to work, and then you don't convert it to power. We don't go home. So when we finish praying, we start another prayer meeting and we start prophesying. And then when we finish prophesying, every family where we heard that somebody is sick or is demonized, we face there. And we enter there. That demon lives now. I tell them, I say, I know there are things God does for years. There are things God does for months. There are things God does for weeks. But the one I'm interested in is the one that happens now. He said, our light affliction are but for a moment. He said, now faith is now, now, now. And we saw dangerous things happen. I decree over someone, you step into that power today. Step into that power today. Step into that power today. In the name of Jesus. Sit down for a moment. See, be conscious and be intoxicatively conscious that demons know you. They are afraid of you. Don't go in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. That's the error of the sons of Sceva. Go in the name of Jesus, your Lord and Savior. You were also commissioned. And see the way you will mess up devils. Ignorance. Iniquity, unscriptural practices have robbed us of our dominion. He said, I've seen an abomination under the sun. He said, princes are trekking, while beggars are riding on horses. We that should be commanders in the earth, we are the ones struggling. You see, 100 Christians, 1,000 Christians, 2,000, 10,000, they say they are demonized. No! When we enter a city, demons should flee that the Christians have come. We should mean bad market to them. How come they have become audacious and they are breaking into our camp? Because the gospel has not been taught. Listen, only those of us in this world is enough to handle every devil in Abuja. If you know the thing spread like radar, the consciousness spreads like radar. I decree over someone, for you, it will not just be a knowing. It will become a mantle that anywhere you appear, systems will shift, territories will open, nations will open because of the power that God has put in you. I release that grace upon you now. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation.
Yahweh is here.
We cry, holy, 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 unto Yeshua, the kind of is here. We cry, holy, 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 unto Yeshua,
to teach some more. But here, some of you are being summoned. You are being summoned. As I'm talking now, the DNA of a warrior is being planted in someone. The powers of a warrior, the garments of a warrior, the rankings of a warrior, the badges of a warrior. Some of you are being invited because that's your clan in the spirit. That's your dimension. Nonsense has happened around you for too long. But now God is equipping you as an emancipator and as a custodian of dimensions in the spirit. Father, in the name of heaven, Jesus, everyone here ordained to function as a warrior. As I speak now, let your hand come upon them. Let your hand come upon them. Officers, help me. Officers, help me. They are warriors. Warriors in the spirit. Barakatakaris. Sagatakas. Sagatakas. Mataka Paratina. Satavakas. Satataya. Vero Tavi Lakura. Barakano. Satavira Barakata. Ah! Yahweh. Of you before now, you were tormented, but you will leave this meeting and become a tormentor of demons. Please lift your right hand. Ushers, help me quickly. God told me he's ordaining warriors. Warriors, these ones, they will take it personal. They will wage war against darkness. Wherever they are standing now, by the authority of the word, I decree, let the hand of God come upon you. Come up, Hida. Come up, Hida. Officers, bring them here. Bring them here. Let me lay hands on this one. It's an executive commissioning into realms and dimensions of power. Young and old. The spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. Now I release a judgment by the spirit. Every demonic oppression, every demonic attack, every demonic manipulation, every demonic programming on your life, they cease now in the name of Jesus. I break demonic embargoes. I break demonic manipulations. I break demonic attacks. I break demonic oppressions. In the name of Jesus, I command your presence out of your life now.
Oh,
The devil has eaten your ears. You are supposed to be walking in a dimension 10 years ago, but as I speak, you have not entered. Those are the palmer ones, the caterpillar ones. They eat years. But hear the word of the Lord now. Those spirits are judged. The years are restored. And for everything stolen from you, receive sevenfold now. In the name of Jesus, I break demonic embargoes. I break demonic programming. In the name of Jesus, you are free. Walk in your liberty now. Walk in your liberty now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. This week, sicknesses that are demonic. The sister testified. She said she had a lung condition and she was depending on inhalers. But by the decree of the Lord, it said the lung was healed and there was no need for inhaler. There are sicknesses that are demonic. Asthmatic conditions, strange tumors in the body, strange heaviness, weakness, pains, all forms of sicknesses. I speak over you now. Every sickness that is demonic, I judge them from their roots tonight. I command their lives to die. I command their manifestations to cease. I decree now, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. How can somebody just wake up and a tumor grows out of him? Eyes become bigger than head. Lungs just become big. White blood cells begin to multiply uncontrollably. Demons. Now their dominion ends in your life. Their dominion ends in your body. Their dominion ends in your circumstance. Be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You know what the Lord is showing me now? There are some of you here that God has commissioned you to step into different nations. Your potentials are global, but you have been locked on one spot. Please lift your hands. The anointing of God will come upon three persons. It's a sign. And doors of nations will begin to open. Visas will be released. Opportunities will begin to come. Father, now, let that anointing that causes doors to open and impart speed, let it rest upon them. On ground, online, ushers, help them. In the name of Jesus, take that unction. Help them. Help them. Help them. Of the organ infections people struggle with are sponsored by devils. They hijack people's livers, hijack their lungs, hijack their kidneys, and torment them. In this week, everyone suffering from an organ infection, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. The siege of the devil and those manipulations are over. I release the power now to set you free. Come out from that bondage. Be let loose from that oppression of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ. please sit down for a moment? You see some people, best talent, best of credentials, yet go nowhere. Devils sitting on their finances. Every poverty orchestrated by demons, they end tonight. The key to your wealth and prosperity is hereby released. In the name of Jesus, prosper. Every addiction and sin that has become a yoke that will not let you serve God. Every 3 months, that cycle repeats. Demons are watching over it. Masturbation every 3 weeks. Immorality every 3 months. Causing you not to have a walk with God. Every devil that has been instituted as a gatekeeper over your walk of intimacy, in the name of Jesus, I make them powerless. I break their siege over your soul. You are escaped in the name of Jesus. Your fire begins to burn from tonight, and until Jesus comes, you will burn for him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. My God, there's so much to cover, but we are out of time. Most of you will just discover that this week you are light, because that yoke you have carried that slowed down your life for the past 7 years, you were just alighted of it. Life has been leaving you. Some of you have just been drying up. Devils suffocating you from within. Whether you are on ground or online, every hold of the devil over you breaks tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, great potentials go nowhere because of demonic interferences. Many destinies will open. Some of you, before the next 3 months, your life will so turn around. The things you call breakthrough, you will give casually. Thank you, Father. Sit down for 5 minutes. I'm rounding up. I told you there are 5 things we have been delivered from. The second thing we have been delivered from is the word and the word system. In John 16:33, I will run through it because I don't have time. He said, "Be of good cheer." He said, "I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer. He said, "My peace I give you, not as the world giveth." He has given us something bigger than the world. And that's why 1 John 5:4, he said, "Whoever is born of God overcometh the world." Can somebody lay hands on this sister for me? He said, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Listen, we have overcome the world. This is why you cannot allow the world mentor you anymore. Many Christians are not aware that we live in a realm higher than the world system. Don't let the world mentor you. Don't make yourself a slave of what you have been delivered from. In James 4:4, it says, "You are doctor's generation." It says, "Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" We have been set free. Love not the world, the Bible says. 1 John 2:15-17. Neither the things that are in the world. Christians are in love with the ways of the world. Every music they hear is worldly. Their dress code, worldly. Everything about them does not give glory to God. Are you not aware that you are supposed to disciple the world? How can the world disciple you? And we are trying to infiltrate the church by bringing the garbage of the world system into the church. From our music to our dancing to our talking, because we don't know that we have been set apart. The word church means set apart. We have been called out. We are not of the world. We are not of the world. He said, "Everything you see in the world," he said, "it will perish, it will end." He said, "But they that are in God, they will abide forever." We have overcome the world. That's why we must come out of the world. That's why we must not be disciples, so that we can have power to disciple the world. The third thing we have been delivered from is sin. 1 John 3:8. It says, for this cause was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is sin. Anybody you see sinning today is sinning for two reasons. Number one, he doesn't love God enough. Because if he loves God, the love of Christ will constrain him. Number two, anybody you see sinning today is sinning by choice. Because now we have power to live above sin. Because we were delivered from sin. And that's why Romans 6:14 said, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Don't pattern your life after sin. Don't program yourself to live in sin. They are watching movies that are showcasing nudity and pornography. Why will you not end in fornication and masturbation? You programmed yourself into sin with your will. Many Christian families today watching Big Brother Niger for 3 months, and the whole topic is seduction and immorality. Barbaric practices exposing to the spirit man that should be beholding the glory. And they end up becoming slaves of that which they have been delivered from. You need to walk with the consciousness that sin should not have dominion over you. And so you program yourself to live above sin because you have been delivered from the power of sin. The fourth thing we were delivered from is death. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 to 10. Hear what Paul said. Don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner of Christ. He said, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And then he went to verse 9. He said, concerning Jesus now, who had saved us and called us with an holy calling. That's why we can't be part of the world. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he had given us in Christ before the world began. So this thing was given to us before the world began. We just realized it in Christ. Now in verse 10, hear what he said. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Death has been abolished. Listen, don't let death threaten you. There are many Christians today, they will literally faint at the slightest threat of death because they don't have assurance of eternal life. The life that we have has secured us with God forever and ever. In John chapter 11 verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, whoever believes in me shall not die. And he said, even if he were dead, he said, he shall live again. We are above death. Don't let the torment of death kill you. When your assignment is over and you have to give away your earthly tabernacle, be rest assured that you will live on. He said, absence from the body is not condemnation. He said, it is presence with the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, hear what the Bible said. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he said, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has power over death. That is the devil. And then he went to verse 15. He said, and deliver them who through the fear of death were of all their lifetime subject to bondage. Some of us are in bondage of fear because we don't know that death can no longer hold us captive. If Jesus overcame the grave, then we too have overcome the grave. We will live forever and ever in Christ, rejoicing with him in all eternity. This is why you live today conscious that your life does not end in time. It continues forever and ever. And finally, what we were delivered from is the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 24. Here is what the Bible said. It said, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The flesh has been crucified in Christ. The reason your flesh still torments you is because you make an occasion for it. By the things you hear, by the things you see, and by the things you give yourself to. Rather, as a Christian who knows he has been delivered from the yoke of flesh, this is what he does. Romans 8:13. You submit yourself to the Holy Ghost. And he said the Holy Ghost will continually mortify. The way a dead body is put in a mortuary,
That's what the Holy Ghost does to the flesh. It mortifies the deeds of the flesh. He said, that is when you shall live. We can't live by the dictates of the flesh anymore. We can't give the flesh an occasion anymore. We have put on the Lord Jesus. Romans 13 verse 14. He said, we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, let us no longer give an occasion to the flesh. This is the power of the gospel. The flesh has no dominion over you. Sin has no dominion over you. The devil has no dominion over you. The world has no dominion over you. And death has no dominion over you. In Christ and in the gospel, you have been set free. And you have been set free indeed. This is why you are called an overcomer. He said, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Everything in the world you have overcome. The gospel empowers you to live it out. And there are three ways the gospel empowers you to live it out. Number one, by knowing and living the truth. John 8:32, he said, thou shalt know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 17:17, sanctify them with thy word, for thy word is truth. That's the first way to live out these realities. Number two is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 6:4, it calls him the glory that raised up Jesus from the dead. When you submit to the Holy Ghost, he empowers you to live above sin. You see that in Romans 15:13 and Acts 1:8. He said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall become witnesses. That means you'll be the proof of everything the world claims. The power of the Holy Ghost. And finally, by exercising your faith. 1 John 5 verse 4, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. In Hebrews 11:1-3, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, by it the elders obtained a good report. So the reason they matched God's standard was because they allowed their faith to work. And in verse 3, he said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which are were not made out of the things which do appear. So there's a power in faith to frame things and to sustain things. To sustain things. And everything God has given you is part of the things that power animates. Can you bow your heads tonight and ask the Lord to help you to walk in your victory? Ask him now.
My beloved is the most beautiful amongst thousands.
You see why we celebrate Jesus?
My beloved is the most beautiful amongst thousands and thousands.
Tonight, everything you have heard, you will manifest. It will not be a story you tell about others. It will become the testimony of your life. From tonight, the power to live above the devil is yours. The power to live above sin is yours. The power to live above the world system is yours. The power to live above death and corruption is yours. And the power to live above flesh is yours. For this is one of the many blessings of the gospel. And you have been called to walk in it. So, let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. this consciousness has come to you, sustain it by prayer. Sustain it by constantly meditating on these words. Don't let it escape you. The Bible said this truth can slip off your hands. Guard it. He said, buy the truth, sell it not. And he said, let the words not depart from thy mouth. Keep it in your heart. So guard it. He said, they are light to them that find them. You will be a witness indeed. And by the time your sojourn on earth is over, amongst the many things that will bring you fulfillment, Jesus himself will look at you and say, well done, thou faithful servant, by the power of the gospel.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.